Go talk to the geniuses that are online.
Recorded well before the Steelers-Bengals Monday Night Football game, it's time to Belichick Your Premises. I'm your host, Justin Emelzdeski, and if you know someone who could use their premises Belichicked by us, send them our way. Joining me in the premise checking, Daniel T. Richards.
In the heart of Bears country. Surrounded by Bears fans everywhere, as far as the eyes can see. And they can see pretty far, because there's nothing here but corn.
I'm sorry. Did you have to watch the Bears game this weekend?
I did watch the Bears game, the highlight of which was watching Jimmy Garoppolo look great.
Great! So. Would you say you agree with Carlos Hyde? Does he look Brady-like?
I think that's hyperbolic at the moment, plus he was facing a abysmal Bears secondary that was injury ridden as well. So it's a little too soon to say he looks like Tom Brady, but he was making some incredibly accurate pinpoint throws in triple coverage, double coverage, etc. He made some good running plays. That's not really a Brady thing, but he made good decisions overall. And although the stat sheet will show that he had an interception, that was the kind of interception that isn't really an interception. The receiver caught the ball and then went to the ground, but like a millimeter before he was down on the ground, he let go of the ball and the opposition got it. And because it wasn't a catch, it goes down as an interception, which is weird. It's a weird statistical thing, but anyway, the rest of the Bears game was terrible, as you might expect. And in proper Bears fashion, in how they cannot pronounce anything in the state of Illinois, everyone in this household and every one of the local Chicago commentators calls him Mitchell Trubisky with an N, even though there's no N in his name. So, thought that was indicative of this culture.
Is it indicative of our culture or indicative of Bears culture? And what I mean by that is, are they just have so much PTSD that they're worried about getting too attached to any quarterback to treat him like he's real?
I just think it's a Midwestern, we don't have time to learn kind of culture. I heard his name is Trubisky, and that's what I'm going with, because he's a right good player there, that Trubisky. Mm-hmm.
So in the Midwest, when you don't learn, you just add N to everything?
You just make up your own. So look, how many years did we call him Brett Favre? Favre! It's not his name. Anyway,
I think maybe we should talk about something closer to home. You know, as good as Jimmy G played, I agree with you, it's hyperbolic, but I don't think it's really worth talking about right now, because they do this with all young players and young quarterbacks. Oh my God, their franchise quarterback, blah, blah. I saw that on NFL.com. The 49ers have their franchise quarterback. Look, I like Jimmy G. I hope he does as well as possible. He just loses to us in the Super Bowl over his career. But I think after three starting games and one in a 49ers uniform, you can't call him a franchise quarterback yet. Although we thought he was the replacement for Brady. So he probably is their franchise quarterback. We'll see as that develops. Especially, what's their record this season?
It's like 2-10 or something.
Right.
So the inverse of the Patriots.
Oh, you got to feel bad for Jimmy G there. But I think we have to talk about a couple of things. First of all, our Kaepernick watch.
Oh, Cap watch.
Cap watch. Did you see Mr. Game & Watch, Colin Kaepernick? That's a really fucking nerdy reference. But did you see the Time shortlist for Person of the Year?
The Time shortlist. I only saw the Time tall list, so you'll have to inform me about the shortlist.
You always make fun of me for bad puns, but you were really doing the bad puns this week, even on the main show.
Turns out people love my bad puns.
Yeah, I have to ask about that. I was going to ask this off air, but fuck it, we're on air, I don't care. Motive Power tweeted a picture at us.
Mm-hmm.
What is that picture supposed to be? I have an idea, but...
Do you have podcast blackout syndrome like I do?
Yeah, oh, totally. Midsummer Michael texts me all the time.
We're talking about mistletoe, and we were saying how none of us knew what mistletoe was growing up. And I said, I thought mistletoe was what guys got when they wore their pants too tight. That is a joke on camel toe. And so Motive Power photoshopped a camel toe hanging from the White House ceiling.
Okay, that's camel toe. Okay, because I'm looking at that, and I'm glad, because I think it looks like a hoof. So I don't feel so stupid.
It's a camel toe, Justin.
Oh, it's a literal camel toe.
It's a literal camel toe.
Okay, yes. I was like, is that supposed to be testicles? Because that looks like a hoof. I don't understand any of this. It's not funny. Sorry, Motive Power. It's not funny.
It's hilarious to anyone who listened to the episode, which apparently was not you.
Well, that's the thing. He replied to me. I was literally confused, and I did like the confused questioning emoji, which is, by the way, rhetorically, people out there, don't send a question mark to people. People get really mad at that for some reason. But if you reply to someone with the confused face emoji instead of the question mark, it's okay. I don't know why, like, that's more acceptable, but it is. I guess because it has a face. By the way, don't try drawing a face on your penis. That doesn't work in the same way an emoji works.
Especially don't draw the confused face on your
penis. So I sent the confused face to him, and he replies to me, yeah, you're going to have to listen to the show to understand it. To which I wanted to reply with, like, you know that gif of, like, the really young black girl who's really confused? I wanted to reply with that and be like, I was on the show and I still don't understand what's going on.
It's based off my brilliant camel toe joke.
Eh. Anyway.
Justin thinks he's the only one who's funny, audience.
No, I don't. You have some really good ones sometimes.
Oh, yeah, sometimes. I'm fucking hilarious. Listen to the main show, everyone, if you're wildly confused about what we're talking about.
This is the purely a plug for the main show edition. That's the name of this episode.
All right, moving on.
Colin Kaepernick.
Talk about some other things that we don't get, like Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, the Colin Kaepernick cap watch, right? The game, Mr. Game & Watch cap watch. The Time Person of the Year. They named six people on the short list. Not the tall list, the short list. Six people on it. One of them is Colin Kaepernick. The other five, let's see if you can guess. I know you know some of them. Who can you guess? Guess here.
Trump.
Yes, obviously.
Harvey Weinstein?
No, that would be fucked up.
Hitler was the man of the year 1 year.
Yeah, but Hitler actually had an impact on the world.
Well, so did... Never mind. It's gotta be something Harvey Weinstein related, though. So, like, hashtag Me Too.
Yes, that's on there.
Okay.
There's another internet conspiracy on there.
Really?
Robert Mueller is on there for his investigations in the link between the election and Russia.
Oh, God.
Damn. So that's three.
What a stunning waste of our time. Okay, moving on.
The Dreamers are on there, all of them.
All of them?
All of them.
Did you say the Dream Girls?
No, the Dreamers. As in the people Trump wants to deport or something? I don't know.
I thought it was the Black Soul Group.
They would probably be better to be on the list than the Dreamers. Yeah. So that's four. Right? Mm-hmm. Is my math correct?
Sure.
Or is it three? I don't know.
Just keep naming.
All right. The President of China. The Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia. Okay, both of those, I mean... Yeah. And then there's one more. Can you guess?
Is it you? Did the mid-side make it?
Not yet. Give it about a decade. Okay. Two decades. 20
I
years.
I got nothing.
Patty Jenkins, director of Wonder Woman.
Oh.
Oh, there must be eight, because you know who else I forgot to name? Jeff Bezos.
No.
So that makes more sense. Eight. Now, here's the thing about this list. The reason I've named all of them. We can argue about Me Too and the Dreamers and the Robert Mueller thing, but is it really fair to compare Colin Kaepernick to Donald Trump, Jeff Bezos, or even Patty Jenkins?
No. No. What has Colin Kaepernick done other than whine for a year?
He hasn't even played football. There's a football player on the list who hasn't played football.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Why do they keep pushing
with this man?
That's the same question.
He's not that stunning. He's not that talented. He's not that interesting. He's not that smart. He's fair to Midland and all these things. What is the point?
It's the afro.
It's the afro. Must contain magical powers. I just don't understand the obsession with a guy who gave up a contract because he wanted to make more money and then couldn't find a place to pay him more money, so now he whines about it.
They're acting like his giving up the contract is some, like, altruistic move for the sake of social justice. That's what this has become.
Perhaps it was. Nonetheless, I don't care, and neither should anyone else.
And it's not fair. Look, I don't know. I don't think we want to give it to Donald Trump again. But it's even not. I mean, this is how fucked up it is. It would even not be fair to Donald Trump. But think of it even more than that. Is it fair to Jeff Bezos, who's basically taking over the world? Is it fair to Patty Jenkins, who broke barriers for female directors?
No. Although, if I had to put money on it today, I'd put it on hashtag Me Too.
Yeah, I would agree with that, which is unfortunate because that doesn't deserve it either. Like, you know my misgivings with internet conspiracies. And I mean, Colin Kaepernick is in himself an internet conspiracy. Do you ever really hear this on broadcast anymore? And did you ever hear it in broadcast when it was of its own volition, or was it coming out of the internet? Because to me, it was coming out of the internet.
Well, the internet and ESPN, the Social Justice Sports Network. So.
Whatever. But let's talk about, rather than social justice, let's talk about real justice.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have to talk about here is Rob Gronkowski and NFL officiating.
Okay.
Is that dog going to be on the recording? There was just a really big bark in emphasis.
I am the farthest
emphasis
away from where noise is happening in this entire house, and I cannot get away from this dog.
It was well-timed by that dog, a very good emphasis. Because what happened in the game was Rob Gronkowski got very frustrated. And we'll talk about why he got frustrated in a second. He got frustrated, and after a play ended, he jumped on top of a Buffalo Bill and sent that player into concussion protocol. Today, as we record, you may already, by the time you listen to this tomorrow morning, know the result of the disciplinary review. But today they are deciding if he will be suspended for one or multiple games or if he will be fined. Now, here's the thing about this for me. We've talked about this previously, or I have. I have wondered legally why certain things that are not legal in the game, and so I mean legally as far as law, the state law or federal law, legally, players can't press charges against other players. To me, right. This would be an example of such a thing. This is not supported by the NFL. This is not in the rules. It's certainly not supported by Belichick and the team, the Patriots. How is this not assault? How is this not battery?
Yes. Agreed. I have no idea. It's actually literally an interesting legal question that I would like the answer to. So any mid-sider lawyer out there would like to explain to us, is this part of the collective bargaining agreement? That you won't seek criminal action outside of the game for things like this? I don't know. I'm genuinely curious. But
I am as well, because it seems like it should be. And it also seems like that would clean things up. Because that's the thing I don't understand, right? Like, look, I get it. I get getting mad. I get getting passionate. Like, I fucking play my South Park phone destroyer game and I lose and I get pissed and start swearing and want to, like, throw my phone. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I've played Mario Kart with you.
Dude, there's nothing worse in the entire world when you're winning for three laps and they hit you with Deflategate and you lose four games like that. I'm, of course, comparing Deflategate to the blue shell. And that's one of the elements here, is they could do a blue shell to Rob Gronkowski, but we'll get to that in a second. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, about getting upset. Yeah, and I understand the getting upset. I do. But you gotta have like this idea in your head. You just have to hold the basic principle and the basic premise of, I don't want to hurt other people. The only way for him to have done what he did was it was okay in his head to hurt someone in that way.
Yeah. And there is a distinction here, and there would be a distinction in law as well about, you know, if this was done in the heat of the moment or with malice, if he had a history of doing this kind of thing. So I will say, not really in defense, but in sort of legalese mode, like, Rob Gronkowski to me isn't the kind of player who has done this often that I know of. Do you know of any other incidents where he's done something like this?
One. If you remember the first Super Bowl he won against the Seahawks, do you remember he almost started a fight the next play after the interception?
Well, I kind of remember that, but I don't remember the specifics.
Right. All I remember is he almost started a fight, and I remember being like, don't do it, Gronk. Stop. Stop, Gronk. Stop. It's the Super Bowl. Stop. This is the worst time ever to do this. And that's the first time I ever saw him do anything like that. And now he did it again.
Yeah.
And even worse.
Well, So aside from the fact that Gronkowski lost his temper, did this, it was not appropriate in any way whatsoever to do this. I want to be unequivocal about that. The question is, there are two questions, right? One is there something that exacerbated the situation that could have been, to use a word, deflated so that we didn't have it? And then two, after you figure that out, what do you do now? Does he deserve suspension? Does he deserve a fine? Does he deserve a slap on the wrist? Although I'm not slapping him on the wrist. You can slap him on the wrist. Is there anything in your estimation that sort of inflated the situation here that made it worse than it could have been?
Yes, and it's something we've been tracking all season. The officiating is out of control, and Rob Gronkowski in particular is not being officiated properly. They were picking on him in that game. I know people are going to be like, you're a Patriots fan and you're biased and blah, blah, blah. How many false starts did they call on him in that game? How many offensive pass interference did they call on him in that game? So you already have that context where he's super frustrated because he's like, why are they calling all these things on me? Why are they singling me out? And then there was very clearly holding and pass interference on that play that were not called. So this is what happens. And we see this in movies and we see this in society in general. When the law does not support you, when justice is not done for you, you feel like you have to take it into your own hands. And when you have a player who is hyper-masculine and hyper-physical, that's what these men are that play this game, they're hyper-masculine and hyper-physical, in the moment, their reaction is going to be to punish the other person. Rob Gronkowski felt wronged the entire game. Then in that specific play, was very clearly holding in pass interference. So in response, he thought he would enact justice himself and punish the player.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, wrong to do that, but the officiating was not diffusing the situation. And all the officiating had to do to diffuse the situation was not overcall things on the Bills or undercall things on the Patriots. It was simply to call things fairly for every player. Justice.
Right, so. And let's make a point here. This is also a rivalry game. And on that play itself, Rob Gronkowski wasn't the only one doing this. In the middle of the field, you had Amendola and a Bills player locked up, and they both got personal fouls on each other for stuff after the play.
Yeah.
So the game was getting out of control at that point. And then Jerry Hughes yelled at the official and got thrown out of the game. I don't know how Rob Gronkowski wasn't thrown out of the game, but Jerry Hughes got thrown out of the game too. So the officials just lost control. And the way officiating loses control is when everything they're doing is arbitrary. When someone is in power and the things they're doing don't make sense and are arbitrary, the people who are under their power stop listening to them because they stop believing them and don't care anymore. And that's what's going on with the officiating, especially the fact that nobody can criticize them. They're so protected.
Yeah, they're like, goddamn journalists. Sorry. Okay. The other thing I want to say about the officiating, which has nothing to do with Gronkowski, but has to do with the Eagles game and the Seahawks game, we'll get back to Gronkowski because this is still related, is that I think a similar thing started to happen in the Eagles game last night, where the officials had sort of decided pregame that the Eagles were overly committing holding penalties or overly committing defensive pass interference penalties, so they decided to call it on them. And my uncle and I were watching this game, and like it would be things like the Seahawks defender would trip on the turf, but because the Eagles player was in the vicinity, they would call holding on the Eagles player. And it is very rare for me to say that a game was changed by the officiating, but the one last night, the Eagles-Seahawks game, was changed by the officiating. I don't think that the Seahawks outplayed the Eagles last night. I think that the officials gave the Seahawks essentially two entire drives down the field based on penalties and then didn't call certain things like you can watch the Russell Wilson quote-unquote lateral while he was well over the line of scrimmage to their running back Davis. That was so clearly not a lateral that the announcers were going, well, that's going to be challenged and overturned immediately because that's terrible. So, I think the officiating last night was out of control in a different way and changed the result of the game. Now, all that being said, the response of the Eagles was very different than the response of one Rob Gronkowski and some of the other Patriots players. So.
Which is pretty bad, Rob Gronkowski. If you're somehow listening to this, if your response is less than the Eagle or more than the Eagle's response, I'm sorry. If the Eagle's response is less than yours, if the Philadelphia response is less than yours, the people who booed Santa Claus, you did something very wrong.
Yes, indeed. So,
but I want to before we talk about Rob Gronkowski one more time, I want to follow up on what you just said because there are two things about what you said. The first is something that I've mentioned a bunch this season on this show, and it's something we've been tracking. This has to do with, and I don't know how you fix it, but this has to do with the fact that they're identifying pregame tendencies to look for, and they're over observing it because of that. They're seeing it where it's not. It's sort of the idea that if you look for, you know, people to act a certain way and you're non-objective about it, you're going to see that. And that's what they're doing. So they decided, as you said, that they were going to call holding on the Eagles. They said the Eagles hold a lot, so we're going to make sure they don't hold. So they saw it where it wasn't. Now, again, I don't have a way to fix that, but this is part of the problem where you have full-time officials scouting things now. It's the same thing that's been happening to Gronkowski all season. And the second thing I want to say is I have a big problem with people saying that holding happens on every play, that there are fouls on every play. So they say that if the refs were to actually call it fairly, there would be 100 penalties a game and there would be penalties on every play. I just don't think that's true. If it were true, the game of football would not actually exist.
I agree with you. I would say that to give the most benevolent interpretation of what people are talking about, which I have some sympathy with, is that some of the rules as they're written are not objective for defining what a certain penalty is. So the way that the rule for holding is written, you could interpret it to happen on more plays than even they're calling now. I think that's, I'd say if I was going to give them the benefit of the doubt, that's what they're referring to. Not that there is actually a penalty to be called on every play, simply that the rules are wide enough to allow one to be called on every play.
Yeah, but now we're getting into a living, breathing constitution versus the intent of the original construct, whatever the fucking word is. Original constructionist. You know what
original
I'm talking about.
Meaning. Yes.
Yeah.
Original public meaning.
Right. I mean, is the intent of holding to call it on every play, or is the intent to get rid of a certain type of call?
It's certainly intended to get rid of a certain type of thing, but the point is that rules in any sport need to be written in a manner that can be objectively interpreted instead of subjectively interpreted. Although, we've talked about this before, some elements will end up being subjective, but something like holding, which, my God, happens all the time, you need a more objective definition or you need a lesser penalty.
Yeah, 10 yards. Fucking, how many drives are killed by that?
Yeah.
All right, so let's finish up this episode here. What do you think should happen to Rob Gronkowski? And I want to also talk about what I'm afraid is going to happen to Rob Gronkowski.
So I think without a, you know, long history of doing these kinds of things, he should be punished. He should be fined. And I actually do think a one-game suspension is probably appropriate. If he had had more of these kind of incidents, and in fact, if he does this kind of thing again, a longer suspension is probably necessary.
Breaking news! Midsider Michael just texted me. Headline from NFL.com. Rob Gronkowski suspended one game for late hit.
There you go. I'm looking up a story right now.
So there we have it, Midsiders. I don't even have to go into my conspiracies or anything. I was deathly, deathly afraid they were going to suspend him two games so he missed the Pittsburgh game. I thought that's what the league was going to do to try and increase parity. I was really, really worried about that.
Yeah.
I think this is fair. I guess there is an appeals process. Don't know if he also is fined for it. He probably should be fined for it as well. Although, I'm not sure if he still gets his game check or not. I think Kraft would like to give it to him. I don't know if legally they can give it to him or not. But I think this is a fair penalty, and he should probably pay a fine on top of that.
Yeah. Absolutely. Good All way right, to then. End on.
Yeah, it's Breaking a good way meetings. To end. Yeah, that's awesome. And thank you, Midsider Michael, for contributing to the show this week. What are we looking forward to in the next week here? So we're 10-2. So that was week 13. So what are we looking forward to in week 14 here?
Well, we're playing the Dolphins yet again, and this time probably with Jay Cutler.
Right. So we'll hear a week of this is a different team.
Yes, we'll hear that and how they're going to be competitive, and it won't be, but that's fine. You know what I'm really looking forward to is the Patriots fixing their red zone problem. They seem to score a lot when they're not in the red zone. When they get in the red zone, they kick a lot of field goals. So I'd like to see them fix that problem in the next couple weeks.
I agree. Although when your defense hasn't given up more than 17 points in the last however many games, you don't really need to score a lot of points. So
no, but you know, we're coming up against the Steelers here.
I know you're just Belichicking your premises. That's a very Bill Belichick thing you did is even though you're really good, here's the one thing you did wrong. You're the worst father ever, Bill Belichick. You're giving me a complex. Also, I think it has to be noted that if the Patriots beat the Dolphins or if the Bills lose, the Patriots are division champions.
That's right.
So this is a hat and t-shirt game.
Oh yeah, it is. Another game that I'm looking forward to, by the way, is that Eagles-Rams.
Yeah, that should be very interesting.
Yeah.
When is that? What time is that at? Is that the same time as the Patriots game? No, because the Patriots are Monday night. Sorry.
Yeah.
I was getting confused with the Steelers game.
Sunday night game or the Sunday afternoon game, one of the two.
Sweet. Well, I definitely look forward to that. That should be an interesting game as well because we have a few main contenders here in the NFC now, and there are two of them. It's basically Saints, Vikings, Rams, Eagles in the NFC right now. That's what I would say. I'm sure people think Seahawks and Falcons, they're hanging around, but I just don't think they're as good.
Yeah.
All right. If people want to give you their opinion on the Rob Gronkowski situation or on who the best teams in the NFC are, how can they reach you?
They can reach me on Twitter at Daniel T. Richards or on Instagram at Daniel T. Richards, or you can send up a smoke signal in the general Northern Virginia area and I'll get it.
And I, if you want to harass me about my dumbass opinions and my Patriots bias, I am on all of the social media, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, Twitter, as The Midside. And if you enjoyed what you heard here or our little sort of sojourn into the main show, you can check that out on themidside.com/podcast. Or if you're already listening to this show on iTunes, just scroll to one of the other episodes there that aren't marked Belichick Your Premises. Thanks for checking in with us this week. Now, we're on to the Miami Dolphins. I just
my face, your face, instant face. Go talk to whoever you want that does that stuff.